Genesis 39. Harry, would you read the first? We've read it, but I want to read it again to get us our mind in it. Genesis, read the first six verses.
And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored.
Jack?
You want me to read next, did you say?
Yeah, read about the next seven verses.
And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got away, or got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto me, or unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a good voice, a loud voice.
Okay. Gary?
And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, and he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she said, and she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master's voice heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison in place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whosoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it prosper.
This chapter begins the story of of Israel in Egypt. This is the first time Israel, as an identifiable people, is in Egypt, in the world. He was 17 years old when he was sold to the Midianites, probably the same age when he was sold to Potiphar. And he's going to be here now in Potiphar's house for 13 years, either in Potiphar's house or in Potiphar's prison. Now, and at the end of the 13 years, he becomes the ruler of the entire world of Egypt, the entire country of Egypt. Potiphar is an Egyptian word meaning, we don't know what it means. It wasn't his name, it was the title. He was an officer, but the officer is an interesting word. It's sarik. And it means to castrate. And it means, if we understand what this process is, it means that Potiphar had literally sold his balls in order to get this particular job. He was like really high. He's one of the top ministers in the state of Egypt. And we know from other documents that the ministers in Egypt had to be deballed. They had to be castrated. So they wouldn't be a threat to Pharaoh.
This would explain a lot.
This would explain a lot. He was captain or ruler. It says he was the ruler of the guard or captain of the guard, but it's the word guard is the tabak, T-A-B-B-A-C-H. It doesn't mean guard, it means the executioner or the butcher. Potiphar was Pharaoh's executioner. And that's, we have to begin to see that meaning here. He was the executioner for all, that meant a whole lot in the ancient Egyptian times. It meant that he had an army under him because he was the executioner also of foreign peoples that came against the Pharaoh. He had essentially all power as the executioner. In order to have all that power, he had to give up something, and he gave up his testicles. Now, Potiphar reported only to Pharaoh. There was nobody between him and Pharaoh. He was also the head. The prisons were under Potiphar. So there was a lot. He had a lot of responsibility. It said that the Lord was with him. I want to talk about the Lord being. Let's go to in 39:3. It says, and his master Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Potiphar saw something. Potiphar saw that God was with Joseph. Now, if we can understand this next few verses of Scripture, it'll make our life on earth far more simple and easy. There was a dream or a declaration to Joseph that said that he was something special, that he was, that there was a special thing that took place, that his brothers would serve him, that the moon and the stars served him, that in other words, the thing that's being said is that everything in the universe is serving the purposes that are manifested in Joseph. Now, that's a meaningless concept, except as a historical phenomena or some story, unless you understand that it's meaning, it's the same thing now in you. Unless you understand tonight that everything in the universe is serving the perfect purposes that are represented in you, nothing else we're reading here will be understandable. It'll just be gobbledygook or history. You have to see that this is you that's being talked about here. Now, Joseph was already liberated. He was going to be either a slave or in prison for 13 years, but in that 13 years, he was already liberated. He was liberated at the point that he saw the revelation in his dream. Understand that? That's analogous to the point. I mean, he knew that he knew, and now it's being tested. And in the test, it further manifests that he knows that he knows that he knows. Now, whatever he was, under whatever condition, no matter wherever he was, under whatever condition he was doing, in whatever condition, I mean, he was always free. There was never, it never required any external thing for him to be free, and he never once had an idea of making others free. Do you understand that? He never had a program. He trusted his life so totally and completely to God that he knew that he was free in whatever state he was in. Therefore, he knew that others were free in whatever state they were in. It didn't matter. Now, the other slaves that were in this environment with him worked only grudgingly. They complained about everything. There was coup attempts. There was attempts at escape. There was attempts to overthrow. There was attempts to change. There were plotting escapes. They were effectively hating everybody because they were slaves. But Joseph saw the secret. He knew he was free, no matter what condition he was in, no matter what state he was in, no matter what he did, no matter where he was free. Because of that freedom, he could afford to love without condition. And in that freedom, he reported only to Potiphar. And Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. Joseph had to have talked with him about the true God. He had to have talked with him. He had to have said, "Everything that you're worshiping, Potiphar, is vanity." He had to have understood that he had suffered the loss of all things and didn't care. You understand what kind of a response or impact that must have made on Potiphar and the slaves around him?
Yeah, I do, because I'm sitting here listening and I can't really very much empathize with Joseph, but I can really empathize with Potiphar when you talk about him being the Pharaoh's executioner and the keeper of the prisons and all that. I mean, I know that. That's what it's been. I know what it's like to be the one who inside tries to say who does and doesn't live in Pharaoh's world, and who does and doesn't fit, who let me in prison.
When you understand, in order for this to make any sense, you have to understand that Pharaoh is the god of this world, and that you are Potiphar, you're mine, and that Christ is Joseph within you. This is massively important, because this will, it speaks to everyone in here. It speaks to Angela about dealing with her parents and about dealing with Julie. It speaks, and about being at school. It speaks to Tyra about being at Cooper's and being satisfied and content in that state that she finds herself. It speaks to Ed and what he's going through with regard to their job or no job. It speaks to everyone here that God has meant your circumstances to be exactly as they are. You are exactly in the place, exactly where you should be, and tomorrow is his business. It was fixed in him that it was the living God expressing himself in him and fulfilling his purpose through him as he was, wherever he was, in whatever condition, without murmuring, without complaining, with perfect understanding. That's the lesson of Joseph, above all lessons. Sold into slavery, and everyone else around him would have been in a state, the same state that you or I would be. But Joseph was no different than you or I, except the difference was he saw. And therefore he knew the secret of life, the secret that no one else in the universe knows, that God meant it for good wherever you are, whatever state you're in, at whatever all the extremes, And if you're fighting against something, you're fighting against God. And that's stupidity beyond stupidity. Let's go to let's keep that in mind. Let's go to Romans 13. Now your mind can be full of examples saying, oh, you don't understand, you don't know where I am, you don't know what condition I'm in. And I'll say to you, the Spirit of God knows, and he says to you, do all things without murmuring or complaining. Do all that understand that you are perfect, you are content in the state that you're in, without attempts, without finding alternatives. Let every soul, Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The power is whatever is keeping you in whatever state you're in. Is that understandable? There is no power, there is no authority that can exist except by the hand of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnations. Damnation, singular. For the rulers, for parents, for bosses, for the authorities, for the political system, for whatever it is, for the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. What is the evil? The evil is self-seeking. The good work is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You understand me? Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. Now this is, hear me, this is, Joseph is the picture of Romans 13. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, evil meaning what? Spiritually meaning self-seeking, under any guise, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That is Potiphar! He's the executioner of him who walks in self-seeking under any guise.
So if you follow your mind, then it'll execute you.
If you follow your mind, you'll be executed. If you follow your programs, you'll be executed. You will die. If you give breath to any parable, if you give importance to anything that can be perceived with the senses, you are subject only to execution. Now that's the lesson of Joseph and Potiphar. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. And again, what that says is not only for wrath. I mean, don't just be do it because you're afraid that something's going to happen to you, but do it for the sake that your, i.e., that you, for your conscience' sake, i.e., that you might be, your conscience might be emptied from dead works to serve the living God, that the blood of Christ might empty you so that you can be in a state of abandonment. And for this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually unto this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. What does that mean? It means that your self-willed bullshit has to stop tonight. It means that you are free, not with regard to any change in your circumstances, but you're free because of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which Joseph saw.
And because of that, whatsoever he did in thought, in word, in deed, he did it all to the glory of God without regard to any external. He didn't care what the external circumstances were. And therefore, this revelation can be transformed and transferred to any place in our time on the face of the planet. It doesn't require any sensory success in order to be manifest. It's its own dynamic. Go back to Genesis. You have to come to, you have to deal with this. This is why this is here. Tyra has to deal with this tonight with regard to her job. Angela has to deal with this tonight with regard to her parents. Every one of you have to deal with this with regard to where you are tonight. Harry has to deal with this with regard to me. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Don't you understand? If you're not in this place position, you're owing somebody something.
The only thing Joseph could do, other than be subject, would be to rebel, which would, by definition, mean he would be trying to be—he would be trying to elevate himself. He'd be trying to be Potiphar, trying to move up to the next position.
He'd be trying to change his circumstances, cause somebody else's mind to be changed.
So, to the world, to the outside, it would look like—I guess it's what it means—that he humbled himself in that he stayed in that position.
Right. Remember, the other slaves around him worked only grudgingly. I mean, hear me. We're all in this position. We've all been sold into slavery. Do you understand that?
That's what I was thinking about when talking about how this is the devil. I mean, Satan has a right to this.
That's right.
This is his.
That's right. That's why it says, resist not evil. Everybody around you is going to complain and murmur about and be concerned about their career options. It was fixed in Joseph that it was the living God expressing himself in him and fulfilling God's purpose, not yours, and not some purpose that you have named and put the name of God on it. Do you understand that? The purpose of God is revealed only in abandonment. It's not revealed in you thinking up some good thing. Or what you think is good. It's revealed in the abandonment of self, the picking up of the cross, without anything, without any expectation of the next step. It's only in that position can you enter into joy and find out. We're going to find out, it says he was successful. He was tempted to murmur. He was tempted to complain. I mean, more than most, because he came. He was the favorite child. He was the next ruler of this, and he was sold into slavery unjustly. There was no. We can't say that. We're bastards by nature. He was tempted to complain, to murmur. But he didn't. He said, not that he was anything super, he wasn't. He just knew a secret. He knew that it was God in him fulfilling his purpose at every moment without any regard for his own welfare. He said, no, God, you're in everything. You are running this life. You put me here for your purposes. I'll be all I should be here and now. With no apologies. It's the same as when Christ said. He felt a moment of angst, of trouble. And he said, Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Let's change this hour? Deliver me from this hour? No. for this hour came I unto the world. And that's the same every time you're in a position where you feel that you must exert yourself to change something. Say, no, for this hour came I into the world. The walk of victory is when we see God in all of the adversity. You cannot see God in adversity if you don't see Him in everything. Tell me what you think you want to change, and I'll promise you that's where you do not see God. And therefore, for you, God is not all and in all. And you could say to me, well, you want to change. Why are you after Tilton? I'm after Tilton because that's what that's what's set before us. I don't give a shit about Tilton. I care that we be tested publicly by what we believe. Do you understand that? The world probably thinks I'm after Tilton. You cannot ever let your mind say, why did God permit this to happen? God doesn't permit anything. God does it.
Very fine distinction there.
Not so fine.
Not so fine.
Now, spiritually, you know, in the natural, this is the lowest of low places. Spiritually, it's the highest place you can achieve to.
It's got to be the lowest because it's the opposite of everything that the physical world says. It's the opposite of everything that nature says.
Right.
Everything is against this.
No, I mean, there's nothing, you have no allies in this.
So it's got to be the laws.
But hear me, this is true obedience. It's hearing the word of peace in whatsoever place we find ourselves. No longer trying to find alternatives. That's the rarest thing in the universe, to experience some tribulation without trying to find alternatives. And to experience tribulation without ascribing it to some cause on earth. You know what I mean?
If I had screwed up, this wouldn't happen.
No, or experiencing it to a higher cause, like, oh, praise God, I'm suffering for this, or I'm going through this for that.
I was wiser, I'd seen it coming.
It's obedience. It's here, obedience, here, under. Hearing the word of peace, the word of the cross, the word of joy, no matter what situation. Now, let me say this very clearly, very distinctly. That is the only purpose of time and space. There's no other agenda in time and space other than you hearing the word under whatever condition you find yourself in. The purpose of time and space isn't that September could have a nice little marriage. The purpose of time and space isn't that Oli would be healed. The purpose of time and space isn't that Oli would suddenly turn nice. It's not the purpose. The purpose of time and space isn't that Pete would no longer be afraid of me. The purpose of time and space is that you would be in a state of hearing under no matter what condition came upon you. Without an alternative, without defining alternatives. This is obedience. Now, when we live by the inner spirit, when we walk in the spirit, Romans says, if you live in the spirit, you got to walk in the spirit. If our life is in this spirit place where everything, this poise, this peace and freedom is inner directed, if that's the case, then our outer emotions are also poise, peace, freedom, without regard to the conditions, the external conditions, but they're also what the Bible calls prosperous. That's the definition of spiritual prosperity. That the outer manifestation would be the same as the inner. That's the successful journey. That's the meaning of the word prosperous. That's why it says, I would that you would prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospered. And if you're going to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, I mean, you understand prosperity has nothing to do with material wealth or success after anybody's definition of anything. It has to do with the manifestation of peace, joy, and freedom in every condition you're in. Now, you got to begin hearing this, guys. You got to not have any other agendas than this. If you have some other, we've reached a point where the plagues this spring are going to get so intense on you, if you have any other agenda, that you may be crushed. We've reached a point where you have any other agenda other than that it may be better for you that you left the body and go try to pursue those agendas. Because the plagues, as we experience more and more revelation, the plagues become more and more intense. The pre-Passover plagues. This is why, you got to begin to understand why they stopped celebrating Passover. Because you can't celebrate Passover without the plagues. Does everybody understand this clearly? This is the lesson of Joseph, sold into slavery. Just as you were sold into slavery, into the world, by the sin of Adam. Now, because of the work of Christ, you've been redeemed from that. But you can't be redeemed from that for some agenda that you may bring into the picture. You have to be redeemed from that for His purposes, not yours. The crossover point has been reached. Somebody must have some response to this.
It seems that this would be the second thing the Bible would be empirically verified. Observation, honest observation, will show that what you said about material success has nothing whatsoever to do with it, and peace and love and joy in whatever condition you're in is what it's about. I mean, you can see that.
Yeah, but you can't see it except by enduring.
But it can be seen.
But the only way it can be seen is if the person that's with you is going through it with you. If you can't be seen from external evidence, it can be reported on, and it can be a foretaste, but it can't be seen.
And what you said about the plagues, usually the mention of pre-Passover and all that stuff makes me a little frightened. Like, for some reason, I don't feel it. I'm just like, come on, let's go.